You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with huge NFL training camp drama. Lamar reporting without a contract, while anonymous critics will not stop chirping. Meanwhile, have you heard about Kyler's contract? It's unlike anything you've ever seen. The question is, what does it mean? We'll have the answer. Plus, it doesn't take long for the coach of the Cowboys to turn the tables on the media. Is Dallas doomed before the season even starts? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you starting right now. And I got big news. Ryan Clark's in our studio.
What?
RC is back.
Look how it happens.
Fresh after. He was hanging out with Kevin, with Chris Hart. And, Chris Hart.
Chris Hart.
With Chris Rock and Kevin Hart last night. And now here he is hanging out with us. Jam-packed we are as the rest of training camps. Sorry, fellas. As the rest of training camps open around the NFL today. All across the country. And there are tons of unanswered questions, particularly in Cleveland, surrounding that man. Deshaun Watson and a possible suspension. As of now, there is still no news as we bring in our Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for us. He is live from training camp, and he joins us now with the very latest. Jake, what is happening right now in Cleveland?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Well, Mike, there's been this expectation here with the Browns that they would hear a decision from Judge Sue L. Robinson before the start of training camp. But with training camp only a day away now, there's still no indication of when that decision is going to come. In the meantime, Deshaun Watson, who reported for camp last week, he's been studying the playbook, watching film, taking part in passing drills outside without pads. And yesterday, we even saw him full uniform cross the street behind me to take part in a photo shoot. You know, as for the Browns, the rest of the players report today. Training camp officially begins on Wednesday, and that will be our first opportunity to talk to the players, including potentially Deshaun Watson himself, Mike.
All right, so there's a holding pattern there, Jake. Thank you. Stay close by in case there's any news. We'll certainly come back to you immediately. In the meantime, let me come back to the table here in Dan Graziano. I will start with you. That's the Browns side of this. How about the league side of this? What do we know?
It's just like Jake said, everybody's waiting. This is a new process under the new CBA with this discipline officer who's a third-party arbitrator. It's been over 3 weeks since the hearing, but because this has never happened before, we don't know how long to expect her to take to rule. So it could happen today. I mean, it could happen during our show. It could happen, you know, next week. We don't know. But the Browns have been hopeful. The league has been hopeful. Deshaun Watson has been hopeful it would happen before training camp. And as Jake said, they're running low on time if that is, in fact, going to be the case.
So, RC, you're a player there. You report today. You begin training camp activities tomorrow, and this is hanging over everything. What's your perspective on it all?
Well, I think it's difficult because everyone starts a football season, and you want to know how many games you're going to win. You want to know how good your team could be. And obviously, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you now have Deshaun Watson, you know you're better with him than without. But you don't know how long you're going to be without him. If you are an offensive player, a wide receiver, a running back, a lineman, you don't know who's going to be your quarterback and for how long. And I think that's more the problem than just what's going on with Deshaun Watson or distractions in the locker room from answering questions. That's not what it's about. What it's about is what product can we put on the field and when do we get our quarterback? And I think other than that, this isn't really something that has to be talked about in the locker room. People aren't asking Deshaun Watson about what he did, what he went through, or what's going on. They're waiting on the NFL to make their ruling so they can move forward playing football.
Yeah, there's nothing about this that is a surprise. I guess that's the Browns went into it knowing this was going to happen. All the players knew coming in. And maybe we thought that there would be some resolution to it by this point, but it is what it is. In the meantime, Mike T, you brought up something interesting on our call this morning about the way they may handle Watson in the preseason.
Well, you have to assume that he's going to miss at least 4 to 6 games. So from a team standpoint, you have to get Jacoby Brissett ready to go. But from a football standpoint for Deshaun Watson, he didn't play last year, so he hasn't taken meaningful snaps since December of 2020. He actually has to go play in a preseason game, which is some ways unimaginable, but you want to get him ready as well for when he comes back. And then, oh, by the way, guys, you're one Jacoby Brissett hit away from, is it Josh Rosen playing the game? So now it gets very complicated. How do you get your team ready to go? I think you have to think it's Jacoby Brissett and then work from there.
And just in case people who are watching don't know, we don't always assume, if a player is suspended, he can participate in training camp practices and preseason games, just in case there's anybody out there who is unclear.
The other big thing is this. Every year I get the schedule, or before the season starts, I check off wins, right? Like every time we went to Cleveland, win, right? Like all of those games. But now you're sitting in the locker room and you can't even prepare for the season in that way, which is a silly way to do it, because you don't know how long Jacoby Brissett will be the quarterback. You don't know if he does get injured, and now you move on to Josh Rosen. This is something for a team that makes this that makes this transition or makes this acquisition and say, we're going to have Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and now you're deflated coming into camp because you do not know when he will ever step on the field.
And Greeny, I think what RC brings up is the word you want if you're Cleveland is certainty.
Yes.
Like whatever the bill is, let's pay it and move forward. And until you have certainty, you're trying to get literally three quarterbacks ready to go acclimated into an offense. Deshaun Watson's new. Jacoby Brissett's new. His replacement is new. That's a lot to get ready in a short period of time.
Again, maybe we will hear something as soon as today. If there is any news, of course, you'll get it immediately here. In the meantime, staying in the division, Baltimore is our next stop. After an offseason full of conversation about the new contract that he does not have, Lamar Jackson reported to camp last week. And despite all that he's accomplished, there's one NFL defensive coordinator who, in an anonymous quote to The Athletic, said the following: if he has to pass to win the game, they ain't winning the game. He's so unique as an athlete, and he's a really good football player. But I don't care if he wins the league MVP 12 times. I don't think he'll ever be a one as a quarterback. He'll be a one as a football player, but not as a quarterback. So many games come down to 2 minutes, and that is why they have a hard time advancing, even when they are good on defense. So there's a lot here. I think we react to the quote, and then we move on to the contract. RC, what do you think of that?
Stupid people say stupid things, right? And stupid people can say stupider things when nobody's going to know who the stupid person was. Like, what does that mean? We are all football players, but the reason that Ed Reed is a Hall of Famer at safety, because that's the position he played. It doesn't matter how you play it. It's the fact that that's the position you play. You take the snap, every single snap, you touch the football, and you either throw it, you run it, but you make a play. And when you play very well, and if anybody else in the world that played quarterback won 12 MVPs, he would be a one. That's how it happens. That's how you become a one at the quarterback position, by winning MVPs. And he's already done it. I am so tired of people make-believing and saying, oh, Lamar's not this, Lamar's not that, because it looks different. Mm-hmm. Stop saying dumb stuff. And if you're going to say stupid stuff, I say stupid stuff sometimes. I put my name on it. That is ridiculous. And a ridiculous person can do ridiculous things when he can hide behind ridiculous quotes that say anonymous. That's dumb, man.
It's actually not just dumb, which it is. The idea that a player could win league MVP 12 times and not be a one, I agree with you, is stupid. It's also cowardly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing more cowardly, and Dan Graziano, you and I were talking about this earlier today. Anonymous reporting has been the backbone of American of international journalism forever. Deep Throat brought down the president of the United States because he thought it was something that was incredibly important to do. Giving anonymous quotes about how you don't think a football player is really good, I guarantee you this is a defensive coordinator who fancies himself a very tough person, but I'm putting my name on this. If you're giving that quote anonymously to a reporter, you're a coward. So if you'd like to call in and talk about your opinions on this show, we would be glad to have you, assuming you don't have to do it with one of those blank things where they change your
voice
so you know who you are, because you're giving like a classified information about the United States government. It's ridiculous.
But not information. See, okay, the Watergate example, right? If Deep Throat had just been saying to Bob Woodward, you know, I really don't like Nixon, I don't think he's doing a good job, that would not have been useful. He was giving him information.
We could win six wars. He still wouldn't be a top four president, no matter what.
If you are getting information anonymously, then that's worth the filter, right? That's worth granting anonymity. Yes. If I can provide information about something that's going to happen. But the opinion, like, that, I don't get that. I try to steer away from it. Am I perfect? I don't know. Have I ever done this? I don't know. Probably. But I try to steer away from, as a reporter, putting anonymous opinion out there, because you don't know. Is this person doesn't like Lamar Jackson?
Yes.
Is it a person who has some sort of, you know, so you have to be careful with this. And in this age of aggregation, and look, it comes from a piece where the reporter who I know and like and admire, talked to a lot of people. So he didn't put this one quote out there. But it gets out there, and everybody knows that. So, unfortunately, and then you get to the content of it, right? Like, you play golf, Greeny, I mean, the card doesn't ask how, right? It doesn't matter if you chip in for birdie or if you make a long putt. Like, it doesn't matter if you're winning games, right? You say, oh, if they have to pass to win, then it's not going to work. You know, it's like saying if they had to shoot Marvel movies in black and white, they wouldn't have made as much money. Well, they didn't, right? I mean, there's other ways to win. Yeah. There's other ways to do it.
Great point.
I don't know what you want out of Lamar Jackson.
It's a good one. It's like saying, well, look, I don't care if he makes 12 birdies. He still didn't play well today. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense at all. Go ahead, Mike T. What do you think?
Look, he's a young, ascending, high-character player who's an MVP. I agree 1,000% with what you guys said. And you go by what we see. He is a winning quarterback that almost every franchise would like to have, and they have to get a deal done.
So how? So then let's get to the contract. Okay. Let's work our way then to the contract.
Yeah.
They're showing up. He doesn't have the deal. Now what?
I call him into the office and say, hey, look, we appreciate you're here. We are not going to put you in harm's way. Not that as a quarterback in preseason you're going to be in harm's way, but we're going to do everything reasonably we can to avoid soft tissue injuries, any sort of contact. The way you've handled it is exceptional. It's beyond reproach. Go to meetings, stay in great condition, and we're going to do everything we can to try and get this deal done before the regular season.
But then when does that change, I guess, right? Yeah. Because there's a moment in time in which you shift from that to, well, now he's going to play the season without the contract.
So it's the Tuesday of the regular season week where you have to now get
not ready. Until then.
Not until then. And then the other thing I'm saying to him and his support system is you should go buy a disability policy, because in this day and age, we're talking about $200 to $300 million.
Yeah.
And if you're going to play on the last year of your deal, you should go buy a disability policy. And we appreciate the fact that you're playing, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens. We're paying you in the last year of your contract. But in good conscience, you need to understand, like, what the risks are, and you should do everything within reason to protect your future.
Mike T, but are you rushing to get this deal done?
Yes.
Because you just saw Kyler Murray get 46.1 as well, though. The price just keeps going up.
It's not about Kyler Murray. It's about Deshaun Watson. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I put my feet up on Steve Bisciotti's desk and say, the good news is I don't want 5 cents more than Deshaun Watson, but I am not taking 5 cents less because I've handled everything perfectly. He got $230 million guaranteed. I want $230
million. Does the fact, because they've been extraordinarily careful about allowing any information about what's on the table out, right? No one seems to know what they're offering him. But should we assume from the fact that they don't have a deal done or appear to be close to it, that they're not offering him what Deshaun Watson got?
I don't know that we should assume that. Mm-hmm. I think that Lamar Jackson has an idea in mind what he wants. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound a lot like what we used to say about Dak Prescott on the show, mm-hmm. right? He and his agent had a plan. It had to be that deal or else they were comfortable going year to year on franchise tags, et cetera. It seems from all indications that Lamar Jackson is comfortable with doing that if he does not get the deal that he wants. So whatever that is, it should be more than Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray yeah. got because those guys don't have MVP trophies. So I'm sitting here assuming without knowing for sure that he's asking for more than that, and they haven't gotten to a deal. That doesn't necessarily mean the Ravens aren't willing to pay him. It could mean they disagree on the years. It could mean they disagree on the contract structure, the guarantee payout. There's all these complicated things that go into it. But Lamar Jackson definitely has an idea in mind what he wants, and to this point, he has not received it.
Greedy, my hunch is it's about the structure and the guaranteed money, and I look at Lamar with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Those three guys are up next, and if they get a fully guaranteed contract like Deshaun Watson, that's where the trend's going to go.
Right.
If it's more to the Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, everyone's going to say Cleveland's crazy, they're an aberration, and I think the football world's kind of looking at those three deals, Burrow, Lamar, and Justin Herbert as, like, what's next?
I think I would just say in closing, I don't care if he wins 12 Super Bowls. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. All right. As we continue in just a moment, more football today as training camps are open all across the league. Tyreek Hill was at it again yesterday, pumping up his new quarterback. Is the praise actually putting more pressure on Tua than he can handle? Plus, the details of Kyler Murray's huge new contract emerged yesterday. There's one provision that has absolutely everybody talking. What does it mean? We'll answer that as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up, and it is time to get your eyes checked, brought to you by America's best contacts and eyeglasses. You want the good news or the bad news? The good news is here that the Dodgers ball girl makes an outstanding stop on this ball that was hit by a Mercedes.
Oh, no.
Scoop it. Here comes the bad news.
That was
a fair ball.
Yeah.
Oh.
Unfortunately, that ball was in play. And as a consequence, it's ruled a double, RC.
Well, you know what? But it's about making plays. It's about stepping up.
It is.
It's about stepping up and being more for your team. You know why? That ball could have rolled in the corner and been a triple.
Yeah,
that's correct. Now it's only a double.
Honest mistake. All right, let's play a little game. We'll call it better, worse, or the same. RC, Devontae Adams changed teams. Will he be better, worse, or the same?
I think he's going to be the same because he's an absolute dog. Devontae Adams is the best in the world at what he does. Now, people are going to say, well, he's not going to get the same amount of targets, or he won't have the same amount of catches. That doesn't mean he still isn't as effective as he was in Green Bay. I think his connection with Derek Carr will be huge. He'll catch balls, footballs, in money moments, and he will still be a star on that team, but he will allow the other players to be better as well.
Tannenbaum, the Eagles made some acquisitions. Will Jalen Hurts be better, worse, or the same?
Absolutely better. He better be, right? They got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Hard to think of a better pair than that. Dallas Goedert is a little bit of an underrated tight end, so they are loaded. They have an exceptional offensive line, offensive play caller for a head coach. if I'm a young quarterback, I couldn't think of a better situation than the one that Jalen Hurts is in.
I mean, how about the Dolphins and the situation their young quarterback is in? Graziano, will Tyreek Hill be better, worse, or the same in Miami?
Worse. Look, I mean, when he was with Patrick Mahomes, it was two transcendent talents working together, elevating each other. Even if you think Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a good NFL quarterback, I don't think he's going to be Patrick Mahomes. So the combination of Mahomes and Hill, I think, produced magic on a level that few combinations could.
Yeah.
So I think Hill will probably not have the same level of success with Tua, even if Tua breaks out and has a big year.
Well, you may not think he's on the same level as Patrick Mahomes, but Tyreek Hill seems very, very high on Tua. Here was Tyreek yesterday on First Take. Listen to this exchange.
I just feel like a lot of people haven't seen young Tua's full potential. You know, I see a lot of similarities when I look at him and when I see Patrick.
You had an opportunity to pick between Tua or pick between Zach Wilson, and you decided South Beach instead of New York. What was the determining factor in that?
I said it once and I say it again. You know, Zach Wilson is a dog, but I rather play with the most accurate quarterback in the NFL, dog.
Okay,
right.
So, first, Tyreek, I want my glasses back. Second, what?
Tyreek's trolling. Yeah, he's trolling now. And listen, and I said it before. Listen, I'm a podcaster now, Greeny.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Right? You got to say things that the people want to keep replaying the hits.
Right.
Right? So, the first week he had his show, he said something about Tua and Patrick. And it was all over the world. You guys were talking about
sure.
this and this.
Yeah.
The second week, they had Rick Ross on the show. Nobody said nothing, right? So he came back the next week, and he said something about Tua, that Tua had to come out and play well and do a lot of stuff. This was a proven year. And guess what? He was back on Get Up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. But I do think this, right? And this is, like, all jokes aside. He's now the face of this franchise. Whether it be by money, whether it be by popularity, fame, whatever it is, Tyreek Hill is now the man on this team. He wasn't going to be bigger than Patrick Mahomes in Kansas
right.
City. He wasn't going to be bigger than Travis Kelce in Kansas City. Even Tyrann Mathieu to an extent when it comes to leadership. Now there's a microphone in front of Tyreek each and every week because he's the most known, popular player on that team. And I think now he's starting to feel himself a little bit. It's like with the change of scenery came a change of personality. With the green in the bank came an opportunity. Now I can really be me.
Mm.
And he says this thing about Tua, and we say, oh, I like that. And he was like, oh, they keep talking about me. My face is everywhere. I haven't even caught a pass in Miami, and Greeny can't stop putting my clips on Get Up. I'm going to say it again. And so I think every time he says it, he's starting to want to believe it, but he knows, just like we know, that even if Tua Tagovailoa has this breakout year, the guy that you see throwing in OTAs when nobody can sack him, when they're not shoulder pads on, when they blow the whistle, they can run by you, then Tyreek can get wide open, and now you can throw it to him and pitch and catch. That's not what you get inside of stadiums. I think Tua Tagovailoa is going to have a breakout year. I'm not going to say that he's going to be better than Patrick Mahomes, and for sure as heck not going to say he's the most accurate quarterback in the world.
All the stuff that Tyreek is saying, though, does it help Tua? Does it harm him in any way? Does it have any impact?
Yeah, I think it hurts. I think Tyreek's intention is an A+. I think the execution is really poor because you're just bringing more attention. This is a really well-built team with a massive question mark at quarterback, and they're probably going to be the third best team, in my opinion, in the division because of the quarterback. So if you're Tyreek Hill, I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to build up a guy that's had a very inconsistent beginning to his career. But you could do it by talking about all your teammates and what you're going to do collectively. And you're just putting a bigger target onto his back.
Yeah, I mean, look, I kind of disagree with the idea that there's any potential harm in it because I don't think the Dolphins are going to evaluate Tua based on how he performs relative to Tyreek Hill's offseason comments. Like, I mean, I don't mean to be funny, but you're right.
True,
I mean, I think I think he's trying to pump his guy up, right? And I think that maybe Tua could benefit from that. He's talking about Tua's potential. Like, Tua's potential is not really – I mean, he was the 5 pick.
Yeah.
Like, he's not – it wasn't some fourth rounder that, he's better than you think. He's supposed to be really, really good. And if he's not, the Dolphins are in a lot of trouble. So I think this is an organization and a player who's now, as you say, the face of it, trying to do everything they can to make this young man feel as good as possible about himself going into a crucial year.
I believe that's telling as well, though.
Yeah.
Right? If we feel like the reason that we may have not have heard Tyreek speak this much or this highly – about Patrick Mahomes, which he definitely never said bad things and he said great things about him, was because the rest of the world were saying those things, were saying those things too. Mm-hmm. And so once it became common knowledge, now if Tyreek Hill says, yeah, Patrick's the best player in the world, we don't really, it's not really, it doesn't touch us, right? It doesn't reach as many people. But with the question marks around Tua and him constantly saying it, I think it does put at least the eyes or more eyes on Tua Tagovailoa.
And speaking of the podcasting, Kevin Hart on The Pivot this week?
Yeah, today.
Today.
12 o'clock.
So,
what's he think about Tua?
We have that as well.
I didn't ask him.
Tune in and find out.
You don't have his take on Tyreek Hill and
no,
Tua?
Okay. I do have it on the Philadelphia Eagles, though.
Okay. Yeah. We'll get that. We'll see what he thinks about Jalen Hurts, whether he'll be better, worse, or the same. In the meantime, as we continue, there are a lot of clauses and a lot of contracts that seem strange. None of us has ever heard of the thing they did with Kyler Murray in Arizona. We'll get to that next. You are not going to want to miss it.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back on Get Up. NFL training camps open all across the country. The Dallas Cowboys, a lot of eyes on them after the way their season ended last year. With that play, the poor clock management execution at the end of a tough wild card game loss against the 49ers. And Mike McCarthy, the head coach, whose job status has been in some question, it seems like almost from the day he got there, told David Moore of the Dallas Morning News yesterday, quote, "It's irritating that the first question you ask me has nothing to do with how I do my job. I show up every day for work to win a championship. How do we win today? That's what I'm asking. My viewpoint is it's not a story. It's a media-driven narrative, or at least a narrative driven outside my realm." So he's frustrated that his season begins with these questions. Graziano, what do you think of his thoughts there?
I look, blame the media is like the weakest, you know, of sauce, right? Like, I mean, just own it, right? Like, I don't worry about my – we've heard this speech a million times. I don't worry about my job security or we're all judged on performance. But just say the stuff and get on the plane and go. He didn't mind media-driven narratives when he was sitting home after the Packers fired him and he was inviting reporters to his house to talk about how much he learned and how much better he's going to be the next – that helped him get his next job. So that was cool at that point with the media. But now he doesn't like them asking about – look, I mean, the Cowboys fell short last year, and they led the league in penalties and the clock management. I mean, he could own that and say, yeah, I know I have to get better at this. Here's what I'm doing about it. Instead, he's telling me he's irritated, and he's defending himself by talking about his, attendance? I show up every day? Yeah, good.
Do my job?
I mean, like, you know, hey. I just don't. It was weak. I thought it was weak.
What do you think of this?
Well, I think what happens is if you ask me a question that doesn't have any truth to it, it usually doesn't bother me, right? If you say, hey, RC, are you going to be on Get Up this year? I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You know why? Because when I come on Get Up, I do a good job. I love the people I work with. And we have a great time, right? But when you're not doing your job well or when you're not being used, if every day I was on the docket, you were like, yeah, RC, we won't think we need you. Then if you kept asking me that, I would have a problem. Mike McCarthy knows that he didn't perform to the level that he's needed to in these 2 years with the Dallas Cowboys. He also knows this is a team that is starved for a Super Bowl. Mm. So he understands he has to be better. And the reason that it's irritating to him is because it has some truth to it. Because he knows if he doesn't get it done, they made three decisions in the offseason. One, Kellen Moore, you get more money, you get a new deal. Dan Quinn, you get more money, you get a new deal. We are tied to you for X amount of years. Mike McCarthy, we're going to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens and you realize those things are happening in the building and you hear those conversations up front, it is more irritating to be asked about it. But it's not about the media, it's about your performance. This is a performance-based job.
There's also the specter of Sean Payton sort of looming over all of this. Turning to Mike Tannenbaum in search of a little empathy here. You were a person who has been in that position where your job status has been discussed very publicly, that of you when you were a GM, that of your coaches when they were coaching for you. What is that like?
Yeah, it's not fun. I mean, you certainly can empathize with Mike McCarthy, but when you have the privilege of sitting in those seats of leadership, it comes with the territory, and every one of us will say it doesn't bother you, but it does. It's okay to be human. With that said, he's complaining about the symptom. Let's solve the problem. Coach McCarthy, the answers to the test are very simple. Since you've been the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, nobody in the country has been more penalized than your team. Solve that, and from there, a lot of positive things can flow, and hopefully you could be the head coach there for a long time, but him complaining about the media is not solving the problem.
Yeah, I think there's that old expression from The Godfather, this is the business that we have chosen, right? Yeah, I mean, you want to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys of all teams? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what's going to – a lot of wonderful things come with that, but this is one of the drawbacks.
And, Greeny, we've talked about this, too. That's where I think Dak Prescott's so underrated. If you have a Baker Mayfield as the quarterback of the Cowboys, just think about all the social media proclivities that Baker Mayfield has. He's just going to put more – you know, fan the flames. And I think that's where Dak Prescott's so valuable, he can tamp things down.
Right, and the head coach, the idea that the head coach would have to take his cue from the quarterback on that is kind of weird, no? I mean, like, when was Mike McCarthy's last press conference? It's not like the fifth day in a row he's been asked about this. Like, I mean, hasn't been asked a question in like a month and a half. So I don't,
but
in
his
defense, it's not a good start. It's not a good
start.
I'm
not defending him. His job status has been questioned literally every day since last season ended, whether he was asked about it or not.
City.
Like you just said, that's what you sign up for. That's part of the job description.
That's correct.
Yeah.
No. Like last year, the biggest problem he has was he couldn't see the clock and thus didn't call a timeout. That was a much bigger problem than any question anybody asks him. In the meantime, Graziano, a lot of other news out there.
Oh, yeah.
Let's run the hurry up through a bunch of it. What happened in Cincinnati?
Cincinnati team owner Mike Brown gave an interview yesterday. One of the things he talked about was Joe Burrow and the idea of a contract extension. He said our whole focus is on keeping him here. Joe Burrow, by rule, according to the CBA, not eligible to talk contract extension with the Bengals until after next year, after his third season. So this is one to watch. Obviously, the Bengals intend to get it done. It'll be tricky because the way the Bengals do contracts, they don't like to guarantee a lot of money, and I would imagine Burrow is going to want a lot of money guaranteed. The Green Bay Packers have extended the contracts of head coach Matt LaFleur and GM Brian Gutekunst. This, according to our Rob Domofsky. This was done quietly and not announced this offseason. It's sort of how the Packers like to do it, but obviously the success they've had since LaFleur got there, 13 wins each of his first 3 years, led to the contract extensions for head coach and GM. And then Kyler Murray got his new contract last week, and then one of the details emerged yesterday that was very interesting to a lot of people. In the contract, there's an addendum that specifies that Murray has to spend at least 4 hours a week doing independent study. This is outside of team meetings, and the way it's written is so bizarre. It talks about how he's not allowed to look up from the material to watch TV or check his phone or anything like that. Here it is. It's right here. And I mean, I guess people want to freeze their screen and read it. But it goes on to talk about what this has to be, that team meetings don't count. So the Cardinals have put in the contract, which he signed, that he has to work differently/harder than he has so far in his career. And it got a lot of reaction around the league.
I think a lot of it started with these words. I'm sorry. What? What did that say? I'll read it again. The player shall complete at least 4 hours of independent study each week, excluding any bye week, during each playing season during the term of the contract.
Or else he's in default, which means they can void the remainder of the contract.
The entire thing rides on his doing 4 hours of independent. Why are you looking at me like that? I'm just reading what's in the contract, Ryan. What is your reaction to this?
This sounds kind of freaky because, like, how do you know?
Are
they going to put a camera in his house, or is there a place where he's going to, like, Like, is it going to be 24-hour Kyler Murray surveillance? Does he have to do this in the building? And why, oh, why, oh, why would you ever have to ask the quarterback of a football team to do 4 hours of independent study a week? Listen, I played football back when you had a DVD and I had the big fat white Mac laptop and I would just put the DVD in and do, you could do four, you're supposed to do 4 hours a day, 4 hours a night. Is this, and God bless his soul, Jamarcus was on our show. Is this the Jamarcus Russell room that now we have to mandate this, and you mandate this to somebody you gave $160 million guaranteed? Right, and so now when I think back to early on in the offseason, and I think to some of the headbutting we had and some of the putting out the narratives or the anonymous things we heard out of Arizona, those things were true. That Kyler Murray didn't work the way that they wanted. That Kyler, and he's big into gaming. Maybe they want to get him off of the game sometimes, but this is not a good sign to me. And the other part that it does for me is now in the locker room, which a lot of times you know these things, right? When something goes wrong and Kyler Murray doesn't make a play or they don't pick up a blitz because he doesn't slide the line the right way. If I'm sitting on the bench and I'm the safety who does a ton of study every week, that's the first thing I think.
Yes.
He probably didn't get his 4 hours in.
Yeah.
Now I'm in the meeting. I'm asking Cliff, can we see the video of Kyler doing his 4 hours of mandated study? Because I knew that blitz was coming. And so this is, to me, this is not a good thing.
It's not.
And for it to now, because you put it in there and you sign it, it's now public.
Yeah.
And so every week we get up here, it's going to be like, I wonder, you know, if Kyler studied this week because you know that's in his contract. I don't like it.
Mike T?
Yeah, I actually do. I don't like the fact that it's public, but I like the rationale, which is this is a win-win. When you're running a team, it's really hard to get perfect players in the perfect spot. And if I'm Arizona, I'm clearly saying we could win a championship with you, Kyler Murray. We're going to give you $160 million guaranteed. But our concern is that you haven't studied to the point where you need to as a professional quarterback. So we want to put this in to give us protection. And hopefully we're going to sit shoulder to shoulder and we're going to win together. And this is going to
help. How do you know, Mike T?
Well,
how do you know if he's studying?
Well,
what if he's just not executing?
Well, right. Maybe he's. There's got to be some way, I guess, that they can verify this. You made a comparison this morning, RC. You tell me, because all of us are a little taken aback by this. It's unlike anything any of us can ever think of. So we're trying to figure it out. You made a little, there are frequently weight clause provisions in contracts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Player has to report it under a certain amount of weight, and they will work through that. Now, obviously, this isn't apples to apples the same thing, but we have it is a provision that goes into contracts sometimes that is unusual.
And the intent of that is you want a win-win. You want the player to be at a certain weight so they can maximize their performance. I have helped players go to rehab to help them solve problems they've had. We've sent players away to work on their weight challenges. We've gone to prisons to visit players. Like, players have different challenges. This is a different one, and this is one where you're trying to sit side by side to say, here's your guaranteed money of $160 million. Here's what we want you to work on. You know, someone said, well, hey, they're stuck with him. I don't see that. I think they're saying, hey, we could win a championship with Kyler Murray. That's why we're giving you so much money.
Mike T. We're talking about a Kyler Murray contract addendum or whatever, and you just talked about going see guys in rehab in prison.
And what
you guys were doing was touching people's lives away from the field. This is an actual football deal.
Right, but what I'm saying is when you can help somebody off the field, you're helping them perform on the field. You're trying to help
this
them.
What does it say about the relationship between player and team that they can't just have that conversation, that they have to put it in the contract
and
allow themselves to get out of the deal?
Public isn't great, but I'm saying the rationale of, like, look, we've had to go to the stadium where Brooks Bollinger is our starting quarterback against Tom Brady. It's really hard to find great quarterback play. So my point is, I don't like the fact that it's public, but they're trying to solve a problem together, and I like that.
I think the other piece of it to me is this, though. When you draft a player first overall, you have to know who that guy is. You have to know if that guy studies. You have to know how he works. And when you draft him, you figure out how we work best in the building to help him. And so that's if the quarterback coach has to stay an extra hour and just work with Kyler, then you need to do that. If the head coach has to do that. If what they're doing, too, this is running away from coaching to me, because you have to get Kyler there. So to put it in there on him, no, y'all stay extra, y'all watch more, y'all do more, because if that is a problem on this team, that has to be fixed in the building. Because telling Kyler Murray to go away and do it, I don't think that's enough. And now the whole team knows we have a quarterback that doesn't study.
All right, let me put a pin in this for the moment. We will come back to it. And we'll get Louis Riddick's thoughts on this when he joins us in our second hour this morning as well. In the meantime, much more football as we go. Bill Belichick has spoken this morning as the Patriots get their camp started. You'll hear what he said about his young quarterback. I think you'll find it very revealing. That's next.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're back on Get Up. And again, NFL training camps opening everywhere today, including Foxborough. And a lot, of course, is riding on Mac Jones having a big second season. This morning, Bill Belichick met with reporters and had a lot of praise for his young quarterback's offseason. Give a listen.
Yeah, I think Mac's done a great job. He's worked extremely hard. He's got a tremendous work ethic and in all areas. I think there's a dramatic improvement. You know, he did a great job last year, but he's starting from a much, much higher point this year than where he started last year. So, you know, his off-season work has been significant, and I think everyone recognizes, how well he prepares and how much further along he was than he was a year ago.
It's pretty good. I mean, he's not someone who throws around a lot of praise easily, Bill. And so Mike Tannenbaum taking a victory lap. You have been suggesting all offseason he's going to have a huge year.
If people listened to me 2 days ago, they would have gotten much better odds on the Mac Jones MVP candidacy. I mean, they're going to be plummeting today after Coach Belichick. I mean, that's unbelievable praise coming from Bill B. But I'll say this, Mac Jones has a high floor and a high ceiling. He has a great work ethic. He led his team to the playoffs last year. Like, that gets buried quite a bit. He played well against the Bills. Remember, the Patriots defense didn't force the Bills to punt once in that game. I think he's going to have an exceptional year. I think they have two really good running backs, two good tight ends, an underrated offensive line, and an underrated receiver group.
So he's super high on Mac and on the Patriots. RC, are you?
No. But I'm not down on Mac. You know, I think Mac Jones is who he is, and I believe that he will improve this year. But I still believe that the physical limitations will be something that Mac Jones deals with throughout his career. But what I do like about what Bill Belichick says is that seems very self-aware of Mac Jones, that I'm going to continue to work more, that I'm going to try to improve. We saw him improve his body throughout the offseason. Now you'll be more agile. Now you'll be more durable, maybe have a little bit more ability, more mobility in the pocket. Mac Jones is a professional. And I think this is the exact opposite of what we were talking about with Kyler Murray, that someone like Bill Belichick, who is a workaholic, who is a football junkie and has had Tom Brady for most of his career with the Patriots, now has a guy who he feels prepares exactly like that. And I think that's what you hear in Coach Belichick's praise.
I talked to somebody in their building yesterday and asked about Mac in the offseason. And the word he said was, what's showing up really more than anything is leadership. He's gotten a lot of attention for kind of flying around the country and throwing with different receivers. But this person I talked to said it's pretty much, it didn't shock any of us because it's what he does when he's here. Mm. He'll round up whoever's here and go out to some high school field. So they've been really impressed. I mean, everything, look, if they had to do a contract with Mac right now, they would not have to put in a clause about, you know, have a study. Like, they're very impressed with everything he's done to prepare. They're authentically impressed with it. They're excited about him. Whenever I've asked about the offensive coaching staff issues, right, like the part of the response is like, the quarterback, we think, is going to be good enough that this isn't going to be a major problem.
Well, look, we'll see. The conventional wisdom right now is not particularly high on New England. A lot of people internally and Mike Tannenbaum seem to be. We'll see which side of that winds up being right. Lots more football as we go. But right now, let me run the bases through the world of baseball. How about Juan Soto as we approach the trade deadline? He just keeps hitting. He tripled to cap off a four-run fifth. Nationals beat the red-hot Dodgers 4-1 last night. L.A. had won eight in a row. They're now
now 17-3 in the month of July, but Soto beat him yesterday. Elsewhere, Bryson Stott hit a go-ahead three-run homer in the eighth. Phillies went on to beat the Braves by a 6-4 final. Philly now a half game back of the wild card. The Braves are 2.5 back of the Mets in the National League East. In the American League, the A's beat the Astros 7-5. Houston sees a five-game winning streak snapped. As the Yankees prepare for the Subway Series this week, the Astros are 2.5 games behind the best record in the American League. And speaking of those Yankees, let us bring in the one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Tim Kirchen, with us this morning. Timmy, it's always a pleasure to see you. We've talked a lot about the Yankees, but again, since the season began, they've been running away and hiding. They enter today just two games ahead of the Astros. What do you think the Yankees need to do before the trade deadline to hold off Houston down the stretch?
Yeah, the Astros are really good. Their pitching is great right now. So the Yankees have to upgrade their pitching in theory, even though it's been exceptional this year. Luis Castillo of the Reds is out there. He's the best pitcher available. It's going to take an enormous amount to get him, and all sorts of teams are going to be after him. But that would seem to make sense. Plus, the Yankees also lost Michael King, a really good relief pitcher for the season. So now him and Chad Green are out for the year. They're going to have to go get a bullpen arm. They'll find that. And they could use another outfielder also. Look, the Yankees are really good, but they're going to do something before the trade deadline because they can hear the Astros coming. That's how good Houston is right now.
Well, let's stay in New York then and talk about the Mets. They announced that Jacob DeGrom will make another rehab start tomorrow. He hasn't pitched in more than a year. What's a reasonable expectation for him in the majors the last 2 months of this season?
That's a great question, Greeny, and we're just not sure because he's been out this long. And I was told, you know, maybe 10 days ago, he's not close to being ready to pitch in the big leagues. We'll see after Wednesday night where he is. If he pitches, if he's healthy again and you add that guy for the last 2 months and you get 8 or 10 starts out of him, which sounds like a lot to me, the Mets can beat anyone in the major leagues. That's how good they can be if we get the DeGrom back, who was so brilliant before all of this. But there's just no telling because with the shoulder, it's always questionable. So tomorrow night is really important to see how well he throws.
And I wanted to make sure we made mention today, for anyone who may have missed it, that over the weekend you were honored by the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown with the Career Excellence Award. I speak for everyone, not just on this show, not just at ESPN, but throughout the baseball world when we offer our congratulations. How would you describe what that weekend was like for you?
Well, it was unforgettable, Greeny. That was by far the greatest weekend of my professional life. It was absolutely surreal. Every corner I turned, there's another Hall of Famer. I sat next to Sandy Koufax on the bus going over to the induction the other day. I shouldn't tell you this, but Johnny Bench asked me to sign his Hall of Fame lanyard. Never thought I would see that, but as great as it was running into the Hall of Famers, it was even greater for me to be with Dan Shaughnessy and Peter Gammons, Jason Stark, all my baseball writer friends. That's what I am as a writer, and I really enjoyed being around all my peers.
You're not just a writer, you're a friend and an ambassador for the sport, and we are just thrilled for you and proud of you, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Tim, and congratulations again. All right, we go on here. Another Subway Series. Did I mention that we have it tonight? Or actually, it's tomorrow, Wednesday Night Baseball. Yankees, they have the major's best record. Mets lead the NL East. The series starts tonight. We have tomorrow's game, 7 Eastern, on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. All right, back to the football we will go. Did you hear what one anonymous defensive coordinator said about Lamar Jackson? If you haven't, just buckle your seatbelt. This thing's going to take off in just a minute. Get up on ESPN.